I don't know about you, but I'm not the greatest about waiting, but it's always good to wait on the Lord because he definitely comes through. So, well, this morning, before the message, I think most of you guys may already know if you read your emails that we're very excited about something that God is doing. It's something I think many have been waiting on and just kind of waiting on the Lord for. But today before the message, I've asked Pastor Jeremy Wilson. He's here with his wife, Bryn, and four beautiful children that are rock stars in the YouTube world, I think, because of the Wilson Weekly. If you haven't seen, it's really a great production he's done. But most of you know, I think, especially you from Calvary Chapel Hot Springs, that Pastor Jeremy has pastored that church for 7 years, Jeremy, right? If I remember in our talk. And they were meeting in a school last spring, and when the COVID thing happened, you know, a lot of people had to leave the schools that they were in. And so his worship leader came here, Justin Bruce, several weeks ago. He knows Job, and we started talking about, you know, the building's open Sunday night. So the short version is we contacted Jeremy. He came over and had been meeting here Sunday night. But we've been talking, as you know, for a while about maybe coming together, right, joining the boats, as he said. And so most of you are already aware, but next Sunday they're going to be joining us here and joining our boats together and just see what God does with that. Jeremy, I've gotten to know really well over these last few weeks, but prior to that I only run into him a few times and have heard about him. But the few times we've met together and prayed together, I just sense such a kindred spirit, come to really love and appreciate you, Jeremy, and your heart for what God wants to do, whatever that is. And he's super talented in the videography world. If you haven't seen what he's done, he's worked with Ray Comfort and Living Waters and done video work with them and just super gifted with that, as well as teaching and preaching. Obviously, he's been pastoring for 7 years and other things. But I just asked him if he would come this morning for just a few minutes before the message and share how God has kind of led him in coming over this way and just joining our boats together, so to speak. So, Brother Jeremy, if you'll come up. You guys can welcome him if you want with a hand clap or whatever, but I'm excited about what God's going to do with this whole thing. So I know you're no stranger to the pulpit, so yeah, thanks, the Lord Tom. Bless you. I'm going to sit down for a minute.
Yeah, super excited to merge together with this church and get to know all of you guys. This is our jam right here, the small church. Like, I like it because you could actually get to know everybody. Sometimes that could be a bad thing, but... it's all right. It's all right if we grind each other, right? Because that's how we get smooth, you know. In bigger churches, it seems like you could sort of hide out and just do your thing and get out. But it's all right to be uncomfortable, and it's a good thing. But no, we're super excited. My heart is, I feel like these days are so dark, and they're only getting darker. And we can't afford to not come together. We need to join boats in these days. Because these are dark days we're going into, and we need the church to be the church. And a lot of times that means just coming together, you know. And that's like Pastor Todd told me that he's just been receiving from that high priestly prayer that Jesus gave, where he prayed that the church would be one. And I don't know if I can make an argument for this, but it seems like the church is very divided. And because of people have differences of certain doctrinal things, but I just feel like the main things, we need to come together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're super excited. Like Todd said, I pastored that church for 7 years, and we just felt like the Lord was just doing something, obviously with this COVID thing. And so, I don't know, we're excited to come and be a part and just serve in whatever way we can, you know, and just to be a part of you guys and get to know each of you guys. And we're really looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. And so I had a few things I was going to say, and I completely forgot. So, but, I mean, that's the long and short of it. We're looking forward to meeting you guys and excited to see what God does. God bless.
Stay up here for a minute, if you would, Jerry. I know what you were going to say maybe is tonight you're having your last kind of get-together fellowship with his church, and so next Sunday is going to be their official, the rest of the gang, whoever's coming is going to, right?
Yeah, we're excited. We're having like a last get-together here, and then we're just letting everybody know this is where we're going to fellowship and encouraging people to come and check it out, you know, and see what God has for them. And so, it's going to be...
I never forget anything. Yeah. But hey, let's pray together, shall we? Before the message, just ask God to have his way in this. So, Father, I thank you for my brother Jeremy that I've gotten to know better over these past a few weeks, and his family, his wife, and his beautiful kids, Lord. And we just sense your hand in this, Lord. This is not something we orchestrated ourselves. It's not something we said that has to be. We just feel like the leading of your Spirit. And I just pray for Jeremy and his church family as they come this way. You would knit us together in your love. And as he said, that we would truly become one, Lord, because we are. And that you would just knit us together in your love and use us, Lord, for your glory. And help us shine ever so brighter in these days that people might find the hope that we have in Christ, Lord. So we just pray in this whole, this merge is coming together, Lord, that you would work in and through each one of us, through each church family, because we're already one as we come together to fellowship and serve. Knit us together and help us just use our gifts for your glory and the furtherance of the gospel, Lord. So just watch over this, Lord. Use it and protect us, Lord, from the enemy's desire to divide and destroy. And just knit us in your love and use us for your glory, Father. Bless the kids today. We hear them. We're excited about them. And just use us, Lord, for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Thanks. All right. So, man, super excited, like I said, with the gift set Jeremy has and just seeing what God's going to do with that whole thing. It's just really exciting to see. So, well, welcome on this couple Sundays before Christmas, this and one more. As you know, it's rapidly approaching. I don't know how ready you are, but I hope you're getting more ready. And, you know, if you've been with us, we just finished the book of Ezra a little bit ago. Last week, was it? I think it was. Yeah, we did 2 weeks in Ezra, kind of a flyover of that whole book in 2 weeks, where he talked about the rebuilding of the temple and the restoration of worship there in Jerusalem. And then, as Mark said, next Sunday, Rod Thompson's going to be here. Super excited. I think Rod's at Reliance Church today. He's in the area, Southern California. He's got a full speaking schedule right up until he shares at Calvary Costa Mesa for the Missions Conference in January. But we, if you guys know, support him a little bit in our regular budget and support Rod and the missionary work he does. And as you know, last February, March, when the COVID virus broke out around the world, over in Italy where Rod was one of the hot spots. I mean, they were right in the middle of the whole thing, and God's, by his grace, saw them through that time. But Rod's going to have a lot to share with us next Sunday morning. But I realize that today's the only opportunity for a Christmas message before Sunday. And so I thought maybe it'd be a good idea to do something I didn't just think. I believe the Lord led me clearly in that. But joy is going to be the topic today. We're going to talk about joy, something many people are running low on, and yet it's at the heart of the Christmas message. Sometimes we forget that in the busyness of it all. And the Lord spoke to me on this issue when I was reading something a few weeks back, and I'll share about that. But just before we get to the message, there's a story I heard. Get rid of my gum. What do I got to do? There's a story I heard this week that talks about the importance of honesty and authenticity and a couple of important things. And it takes place around Christmas time, so it fits the season we're in. It's always good, I think we know, to be honest and not try and cover up sin. Confession of sin brings freedom, doesn't it? And if you try to hide and cover it up, it just eats away at you. It eventually comes out, so confession of sin is good. But this story is about the importance of being authentic and honest. And the story is about a mom who went to her son's home around the Christmas season. He lived in another state, and so she flies in for the Christmas holiday. And on arrival, she finds her son has a new girlfriend. So he's, you know, excited to have mom there. She actually likes his girlfriend. She's a nice girl. She's sweet, attractive young lady. But in conversation, the mom finds out that the girlfriend is living at her son's house. And so she's like, okay. And so the young man assured his mom, hey, mom, we're not sleeping together. We're keeping ourselves for marriage. And he told his mom his girlfriend's sleeping in another room. And they're living together to save up money. So when they get married, they'll be able to get off to a better start. So it's a small place, and they're renting. And the mom decided, well, you know, I'm just going to stay in a bed and breakfast. I don't want to be a nuisance to my son and his girlfriend. It's me too cramped. She's living there, sleeping down the hall and the whole deal. So I'm going to leave each night and come back every morning. So mom spends Christmas and New Year's with him, right? They have a good time. They enjoy the holidays together. And then at the end of the holidays, she flies back home. Well, a few days later, the young man called his mom and told her how good it was to have her for the holidays. Mom, it's good to have you here. Loved your company. Glad you met my new my girlfriend. Good to have you. But he said, Mom, I'm not accusing you. But he said, Mom, I noticed while you were here, you were eyeballing a new skillet that I had in the kitchen. And, you really seem to admire it. You even mentioned a few times how nice it was and that you'd like a skillet just like that one. And he said, Mom, again, I'm not accusing you in any way that you took it, but all I know is it was here, and after you left, the skillet's gone. So the mom answered him back, and she said, well, son, I enjoyed my visit. I really liked your new girlfriend, and son, I'm not accusing you, and I'm not in any way saying that you're sleeping with your girlfriend either, but if you weren't, she would have found that skillet in her bed down the hall. Yeah, so. Mama had some wisdom, and hopefully you don't need to employ that someday, but I thought that was a cute story I heard this week. So anyway, let's pray, and then we're going to talk about joy. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that in the midst of trial and challenges of life, Lord, that we can know the joy of Christ and the joy that he gives us when we trust and know him as Savior and Lord. So I pray in this season, Lord, no matter where anyone might be, challenges as well as the good things we might be going through right now. For those here in the building today and those online that are joining us, Lord, I pray that you would remind us of the joy that Jesus brought to this world, that he brings to our life as we trust in him and walk with him each day. So have your way as we open your word together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, how's your joy meter today? It's a question I was thinking. How's your joy meter? With the pandemic, the economy, the businesses struggling, massive amounts of people are depressed and discouraged. And they say that suicide rates are climbing exponentially around the nation today because of everything that people are going through. Many have lost loved ones due not only to the COVID virus, but other illnesses and sicknesses that are just part of life on this earth that we live in. War and hunger in parts of the world that are going, there's things going on in Africa right now that are so horrific, I'm not even going to mention them, as far as Christians that are being slaughtered there by extremists. That's going on right now in our day and other parts of the world as well. But there's never been a greater time for the gospel message to get out than there is today. As Jeremy said, it's a dark world. And hopefully where you are, there's some light. And I know there is, because if Christ is in your life, you've got some light there. But the world does seem to be getting darker, but the hope we have in Jesus is the only lasting thing that's really going on today. And so we're told in the Bible, when we think about joy, that it is a fruit or a product of the Holy Spirit. It's not up for you to come up with it on your own. In fact, you can't. But it is a fruit of the Spirit, the Bible talks about, in our lives. Joy is greater than the circumstance. It transcends the temporal things of life that we go through. There's no question that we have a lot to be thankful for. We just had Thanksgiving, and now as Christmas approaches, there's so much to be thankful for, even in the midst of the challenges. But certain things we experience can make us happy, and that's okay. Be thankful for those things that make you happy. But happiness, as you know, it's temporary, isn't it? Happiness, you can be happy 1 minute, and 15 minutes later, there's a phone call, or car tire goes flat, or it won't start, or something happens at work, or one of the kids, and then happiness flees like a bird. And happiness, as you know, is temporary. It's tied to circumstance that change moment by moment. Happiness is transient, but biblical joy is a constant. It is a constant. That's why Paul said, several cross references before we get the, it's only one verse today for the context, so don't worry about that. One verse we'll get to, but when we think about joy, look what Paul said as far as it being constant, Philippians 4:4 on the screen. Paul said this to the believers. He said, rejoice. Notice what he says, in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he says again, because we are forgetful people, aren't we? You might, what did you just say? I said, we're forgetful people. So, but rejoice in the Lord. And Paul doesn't say sometimes, most of the time when things are going well, but always. And he says, again, I say rejoice. And the reason the availability of joy never changes is because the source of our joy, Jesus, never changes. In Hebrews 13:8, look what the writer says about Jesus there in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, he's not going to change. So you can rejoice in him always. And again, I say rejoice. So the seed that started this whole message, today, I was reading a book. I actually read books on occasion, and I read too many probably, but my problem is I start one, then I go to the next one, I set that aside and get a third one going, and come. But, you know, if you love books. But I'm reading a book, and the author is quoting a guy named, and I'll probably butcher the name, Friedrich Nietzsche. Max, what was it? Nietzsche. There you go. Bible college kid back there. But Frederick, I'll just use his first name, was born in 1844 to 1900. And he was a famous German philosopher, but he's also an atheist. That's an important part of the story. And so one day, he reproached a group of Christians. And this quote comes from Brennan Manning's book called Souvenirs of Solitude, a great book. I'd encourage you if you want one to read this season or new year. But as Friedrich approached the Christians, he said, "Yuck, you guys make me sick." Imagine somebody walking in here today and saying, "You guys just make me sick," right? Well, he said that to this group of Christians, and the spokesman for the Christian asked him, why do we make you sick? What is it so offensive?" And so Friedrich replied, and I quote, he says, "Because you redeemed don't look like you're redeemed." He said, "You're as fearful and guilt-ridden and anxious and confused and adrift in an alien environment as I am." And Friedrich said, "I'm allowed. I don't believe. I have nothing to hope for." But he said, you people, you claim to have a Savior. Why don't you look like you're saved?" Ouch. Ouch. Thanks, Friedrich, for that. "But you claim to have a Savior. Why don't you look like you're saved?" You know, we sing the Christmas song, don't we? "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." He has come. The angel's announcement upon the birth of Christ on the screen, look, if you will, at Luke chapter 10 and verse 10 through 11, as the angels helped the shepherds that night. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which, notice, will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So, from the angel's announcement, it looks like, guess what? We do have a Savior. So why don't we always look like we're saved? That begs the question, what should a saved person look like? You know, should you wear a shepherd's robe and have a staff and walk around the field? So what should a saved person look like? Well, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians mentions 9 things, characteristics that ought to be evident in your life and will be in a believer's life as the Holy Spirit is present and at work. And again, these fruits are not things that you struggle and strain to produce. They just naturally come as a result of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, which is a product of life. And just by way of reminder, I'm sure it's very familiar to many of us, Galatians 5, Paul mentions what the fruit of the Spirit is, 5:22-23. And he said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And he says, against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit. So a saved person, one who's come to trust in Jesus, ought to and will have these things. You know, your Christmas list, wouldn't it be nice to have some more of those things on the increase, more evident in all of our lives? And so they ought to and will have those things, the believer well developed in their life, as the Spirit is at work. And some say the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in order of importance. And you could make a case for that when Paul said, now abide these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, right? We know the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbor as ourself. And so you could make a strong case that perhaps they are in order of importance, they're love, but hey, what's right after love? Joy. Now, some people say, you know, that's not my spiritual gift. This is not spiritual gift. This is spiritual fruit. This is fruit. The greatest commandment is to love, but right after love and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So how is your joy level compared to a year ago? If you believe in Jesus and you walk with Him, it should be growing a little bit each year. There should be a little more joy than perhaps last year. But do you know joy is referenced 192 times in the New King James Version? So it's not just mentioned occasionally. It's 192 times it's referenced in some context in the Scripture. And I understand that you're human. You have struggles, and you have heartache, and you have loss, and you have things that you go through. But you do also, if by God's grace you've come to believe in Jesus, hey, you do have a Savior. And as Frederick said, why don't you look like you're always saved? That's convicting to me, because I look in the mirror some mornings when I wake up and I wonder, wow, isn't that something right there? But I don't always look like I'm saved, not only when I first wake up, but other times during the day. Why don't you look like you're saved? Where is the joy of the Lord that Nehemiah said to his people in a challenging time? That's your strength in life, the joy of the Lord. And you do have a Savior, and that ought to come to bear on your countenance. Look like you're saved. Now, that doesn't mean you walk around with a perpetual smile. Don't you just hate people that are always grinning? Think, so, what's wrong with you? Don't you know what's going on in the world? I mean, that doesn't mean you don't smile, but you're human, I'm human, you have trials that don't always make you want to smile. So looking like you're saved doesn't mean you have that perpetual smile, but it does mean there's something about your life, when people look at it, that it has a joyful tone to it. It doesn't mean that note's always being played, but there's a tone of joy because of the presence of the Lord through the Spirit in your life. Now, do people enjoy being around you? Because if you have joy, people will enjoy being around you. And so that's one way to take a look at things. So what does the Bible say about this matter of joy? How important is it? It's not a side issue. It's like, well, that's not my gift. We're not talking about gifts. We're talking about fruit. It's not a matter of, well, I don't think I need that. No, you need that. In fact, it's going to be there if you know Jesus and the Spirit is in your life. It's a fruit. It's a product. How important is joy in the life of a believer? No doubt some people are more joyful or bubbly or whatever than others, but I'm talking about the genuine joy of the Holy Spirit, the fruit that He gives. So the text for today is really, as I said, one verse that relates to the value of the kingdom of God and the joy made available once you discover and come into the kingdom of God. Because as I said, I think today a lot of Christians, myself included, we could use a fresh filling of the Spirit to produce more joy that's real and contagious to people around us. And the verse today reminds us of the joy that comes to the believer, the value of the kingdom of God, the joy made available to you in God's kingdom. So God's kingdom, you know, is a kingdom of joy, isn't it? We all need to be reminded that God's invited us into a kingdom that is a joyous, victorious, celebrative kingdom. It's one of joy. And remember in the parable of the talents, the two servants who had been faithful with what their master entrusted to them, at the end of life, they were giving an account of their stewardship and what did they do with what they'd been given. And in that story, the master is a picture of God. And when called to give an account of their stewardship to the good steward, the man in the story who's a picture of God, look on the screen at Matthew 25:21. When he was called to give an account, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." But notice the last line, "Enter into the joy of your Lord." Enter into the joy of your Lord as a result of being a faithful steward over the things I've given you. Enter into the joy of your Lord, not to the misery, not to the long-suffering, not to the dismal, dreary existence that some people say you're going to sit in heaven and play a harp on a cloud forever. I think it's a whole lot more than that when you read the Bible. Because to me personally, sitting on a cloud forever playing a harp, that's not going to be a good time. But worshiping God is. And worship God is not just in song, but it's your life lived. In Romans 12, it says, your body a living sacrifice presented to Him is your reasonable form of worship. And so I don't think any of us fully imagine all that heaven's going to have for us when we get there, but it is a kingdom of joy. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Jesus talked about a banquet table, didn't He? That will be spread. He talked about new wine being poured, that He would share the cup again with us in the kingdom. He said, I'm having this last time with you guys before the cross, but He said, I won't drink of this cup until I share it anew in the kingdom. There is that time coming. Heaven is a kingdom where we're told there's going to be worship and reunion and newness. And hey, guess what? As I think Bruce covered a few weeks ago, no more tears. He's going to wipe away all the tears. And there's a lot of tears being shed today around this world and in our nation in different aspects and different ways. There's a lot of tears, and they'll all be wiped away. And He described the kingdom in many ways in parables to help us understand. I want you guys to understand what it's like. Jesus said, this is what it's like. This isn't the whole thing, but it's like this. So one story He tells is of a man. And the man's out in a field one day that didn't belong to him. And what he was doing there, we do not know. But this is our one text verse for today. If you have your Bible, this one's not on the screen. It's Matthew 13, 44. I'll give you just one moment there. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. So Jesus in Matthew 13, he gives all these stories to try and describe what's a kingdom of heaven like. And he comes down to this just one verse in the midst of many little stories. In Matthew 13, 44, he says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure that's hid in a field, which a man found and he hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys the field." Now, pretty awesome story, isn't it? It's one verse, so rich with meaning and understanding, but it gives us an understanding of the joy that a person finds when they actually discover the kingdom of God. So here's this guy, he's out in a field. It's a picture of you and I in our life on this earth. We're wandering around, we're making our way through. And it doesn't belong to us as it did not belong to this man. We're in the world, we're making our way, and then as it was for this man, he comes upon something, and the Bible says it's a treasure. Now you think of the word treasure, it means incredible worth and value, doesn't it? Treasure chest, incredible value. Treasures and riches open up all kind of possibilities, don't they? One day you're begging bread, the next day you live in a mansion if you found a treasure in one sense. Imagine if all of a sudden you stumbled on $1 million, literally, in this life, and you realized it didn't belong to anybody, and actually that $1 million, that's for you. God meant that for you. Would that change your life? No? Well, give it to me, it'll change mine. I mean, it'll change your life if somebody gave you $1 million right now. You'd pay off your debt. You'd maybe get something for the kids or whatever. Hopefully you'd tithe on it or give to missions, whatever. But if all of a sudden you came upon $1 million, I guarantee it's going to change some aspect of your life. So this man, he finds a treasure. And it opens up opportunity. And the treasure in the story, Jesus said it's hidden. That means it's not readily seen. This treasure was hidden in the field. That's covered up. It's kind of like the gospel until God reveals it to you, isn't it? How long did you wander through this life until God shined the light for you? And you, by the grace of God, saw Jesus and he revealed the treasure of the gospel. And actually, that treasure is right in our midst, but God has to reveal it. Paul said in Romans that it's not far from any one of us. It's not far. This word of faith that brings the kingdom to us, just call out, the doors swing open. And believe on Jesus, you're in the kingdom. You're brought into it. But in the story, this man, he finds the treasure. He wants to come by it honestly, so he buries it, and he hides it so nobody's going to steal it. And then, notice what he does. Jesus said he goes and sells everything he has, all that he owns. He gets rid of everything, every possession, in order to purchase the field. Now, what does that tell you? He understands that the treasure that he found, which Jesus said, it's like the kingdom of God, this treasure. He understands it's worth more than all of his earthly possessions. And that's something a lot of us need to take hold of. The kingdom, the treasure of the gospel, Jesus, your relationship, worth more than all the possessions this earth can offer. So for joy, he willingly gets rid of all of them. He buys the field, knowing that's where the treasure is. Once it belongs to him, it'll be worth everything he once counted as valuable. He said, I'm getting rid of all that so I can buy that field, and in that field is a treasure, and it's worth everything I have. And in the story Jesus told, what motivated him? He said, for joy, he went and sold everything he had, and he bought the field. Have you come to realize that Jesus is worth it all? That he's worth it all? That nothing in this life is worth hanging on to if it keeps you from a relationship with him, because out of your relationship and his kingdom come all the other things of life that so many people strive for. In fact, in Matthew 6, when Jesus was talking about the need to not worry and just trust God, notice in Matthew 6:33 on the screen, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So just seek the Lord, seek your relationship, the righteousness of God, which comes by faith in Christ, and all the things that those that don't believe worry about every day of their life, those things will just be added to you. Have you noticed that to be true? The more you seek the Lord. I remember back in the early days of my Christian life, and I was a landscaper, And I had a business that God had blessed and was going actually quite well, and I enjoyed doing what I was doing. But I was reading Matthew 6 that day, 33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And the Lord seemed to say to me that day, he said, Todd, you take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. You seek my kingdom, you take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. And he has certainly done that and so much more. And so the man who stumbled upon this treasure, he's overtaken by joy. I'm trying to find a convenient time to take a sip of water. Sorry, and it caused him, as I said, to let go of everything he had so I can buy that field. Now, that is what the kingdom of God, Jesus said, it's like that. Incredible joy for those who discover it and come into it. The way in, Jesus said, I'm the door. You come through me, you go in, and then you go out and you find pasture in John chapter 10. So I would just say today, I believe God wants to say, don't get too down about what you see going on in the world. This world is on a spiral, not going up. It's getting darker, as you mentioned. And Jesus told us, you know, before he comes, things are going to get kind of rough, right? And we're certainly seeing some of that today. So don't get too down about what you see. You have, through faith in Jesus, been brought into a kingdom that, guess what? It can't be shaken. This kingdom is sure. It's fixed. You know, when Pilate was questioning Jesus as to who he was and was he in fact a king? You know, who are you? And he's questioning, are you a king? And Pilate asked Jesus, why aren't you putting up more of a fight? If you're a king, certainly you have a kingdom. Why aren't you fighting? Why aren't your disciples fighting? Look on the board there at John 18:36. Jesus answered Pilate, and he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But he said, now my kingdom, it's not from here. My kingdom is not from here. So the idea there is, you know, his kingdom, it's not necessarily here. It's not necessarily right now. It's there and it's later in its fullness. It's coming. It's a coming kingdom. And its value, the joy it brings, well, as this parable tells us, it'll cause a man or a woman, it'll cause a person, once they realize it's worth, to let go of everything else in life to obtain that treasure. You know, men spend their life, don't they, sometimes building kingdoms on this earth, and then one day death comes and takes that whole kingdom. It's left. That's what we're learning in Ecclesiastes. You can break your back, work hard, and build a huge estate and amass all kinds of wealth, and if you don't know the Lord, as Solomon said, it's all vanity. You die and you leave it to somebody who doesn't give a rip, and they'll waste it, and so what, right? But that's not the life that God calls us to in Jesus. He says, I'm calling you into a kingdom that you can invest in ahead of time. I'm calling you into a kingdom that will not be shaken. In fact, it won't ever be taken from you. And his kingdom, nobody takes. It's one you're going towards, and you're not getting ready to leave. You know, as people get older, I know some of you are getting older, and I'm not, but you know, as you get older, you start to realize, hey, I'm going to be leaving here, you know, hopefully not today or next week, but whenever it is. But you realize life on this earth, everything you've acquired, whatever, you have to get ready to leave. But Jesus said, I'm calling you to something that you're going towards in my kingdom. In fact, he said, you can invest in it right now. He said, lay up treasure in heaven where thief does not come in and steal. This has eternal security to it. So, you know, we only have a few minutes left this morning. And this kingdom, I was thinking, has been preached on for over 2,000 years now. And I think we've just scratched the surface barely of it. What's in this kingdom, what's been made available through it. Its king, we know, is Jesus. And so what kind of king is he, by the way? This Jesus. What kind of king? There's some people, maybe online, if someone's watching or today or in the future, what kind of king is this Jesus who presides over this kingdom? Well, look what the writer of Hebrews says about him. One verse here in Hebrews 1, 8 and 9. This is New Living Translation. But in Hebrews 1, the writer is helping us understand the supremacy of Jesus over every other prophet or angel or whoever's come before. And here he says in Hebrews 1, 8 and 9, but to the Son, he says, so God the Father says to the Son, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and you hate evil. Don't forget that. You love justice. You hate evil. Therefore, O God, This is God the Father talking to God the Son. So, you know, oh God, your God, look what he's done. He's anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. What did he pour upon God the Son? The oil of joy more than on anyone else. See, Jesus was sinless. In fact, he is sinless. That's why he could be the once for all perfect sacrifice for all sin, for all of time. And because of his love for justice, which basically what is right, and couldn't we use some more of that in our country today? Love of justice and what is actually right. He had a hatred for evil, and that means he hated sin. He hated what was wrong. God, his God, the writer said, God the Father has anointed him, poured on him the oil of joy more than on anyone else. Wouldn't you like to have some of that poured on you? The oil of joy, the fullness of the Spirit to come and just overflow you so people say, well, there's something about you that I don't have or something I want more of. You see, sin does not bring joy. Jesus hated sin, loved the sinner, hated sin. But sometimes the enemy will think us or try to trick us into thinking that, you know, if you just do this, man, it's going to bring you all kinds of happiness. Well, you know, sin does not bring joy. The Bible does say it brings pleasure, doesn't it? But it's for a season. And then that season goes and you're left emptier and worse than you ever were before. So the Bible's honest. Some sin might bring pleasure, but it's for a moment and then it's gone. But the joy that Jesus gives, well, the Bible says that's forever. That's enduring. It transcends everything in life. And no doubt we're going through some challenging times, some more than others. Perhaps today are really going through devastation. Anxiety is pegged in a lot of people's lives right now about what's on the future, what's coming up. And it's easy in this environment to forget the kingdom that we've been brought into. Do you know one of the reasons God disciplines his children? And I trust that you're all children of God today through faith in Jesus. And if you're a child, guess what? Every once in a while, you need a good trip to the woodshed, as Grandpa would say. But you know, I ran across it. We're moving to our close here in about an hour and a half. But no, a couple minutes. But I thought, you know, why does God discipline you? Maybe you're going through something right now, and it's like, Father, I'm not enjoying it. God disciplines those he loves. And one of the reasons the Lord gave me this verse for today. Look at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. As Moses was telling the children of Israel why they went through some of the things they went through, he says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. So you serve God out of drudgery and obligation, and man, isn't this a dreary thing that I have to serve God? Excuse me. Serving God, a dreariness, weariness, as they were saying. But why did God discipline the children of Israel? Because Moses said, you didn't serve him with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. I don't know how much you think you have or don't have, but I can assure you, if you're a believer, you have an abundance of everything. All things have been made available to you. Complaining and not realizing how good God is and the abundance of the benefits, the psalmist said, that he'd load you down with every day. Not living and serving with joy and gladness, that will bring a spanking and a timeout from your Heavenly Father because he loves you. Now, Jesus, the Bible says, was a man of sorrow and he was acquainted with grief, but they were not his traveling companions. He met them, but he didn't keep company with them. His Father, the writer of Hebrews said, anointed him, pouring upon him the oil of joy more than any one else. So if that's our king, and this is what his kingdom is like, worth more than anything in this world, how joyful ought you to be today? If he says, I'm your king if you trust me, and this is the kingdom, how joyful ought we to be? And again, not in and of ourselves, a fruit of the Spirit, centered on Jesus, always abiding. In closing, one day, Paul was talking about the challenges of ministry. If you're a Christian or if you're in ministry, there are challenges. Amen? Challenges. Old Charlie Brown once said, ministry would be easy if it weren't for people. Sometimes we're those people, right? Wouldn't it be easy? But anyway. But one day, Paul was talking about the challenges of ministry, and he was meeting with some elders. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him that, hey, once you get there, Paul, It's not going to be a picnic by the bay in Jerusalem for you. In fact, it's going to be chains and tribulation that awaits you in Jerusalem. So maybe you want to go somewhere else. And you know what Paul said? Look at Acts 20, 24 on the screen. When they said it's going to be a hard time in Jerusalem, Paul said, "But none of those things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I might finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Think about what Paul went through, and he's got a list in other places. I don't think any of us even come close to what Paul went through. And here he said, you know what? I want to finish with joy. You know, God doesn't want you showing up in heaven with a long face. He doesn't want you showing up like, oh, you know, it's like, wow, you know, look what I get to step into now. So between here and there, one thing I can tell you as we wrap up is, number one, joy is found in Jesus Christ alone. It's found in Him. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He will produce that in your life. You just yield, ask Him to fill you, and you're going to have this joy that all of a sudden, why am I so happy when everything seems so bad? Well, fruit of the Spirit. But there's one very practical way, and we really are closing here. Look at Psalm 119, 162. Look what the psalmist said. He said, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds" what? Great treasure. As one who finds great treasure. I think Jack Hibbs and his church up at, little tiny church up in Chino Hills there, only about 7,000 people. But he's doing this thing called Reset for the New Year. In his Reset, he said, let's get reset by focusing on the Word of God. You know, maybe for some of us, that means you need to turn off some of the social media or not watch so much news. I'm not saying be blind. Watch what you need to be aware. But he said, let's do a reset. And let's do a reset by committing to reading through the Word of God this coming year. And the psalmist said, you know, I rejoice at your word as like this man in the field. I found great treasure. Maybe that treasure in the field that Jesus told was a brand new leather-bound Bible. I don't know what it was. It was kind of a joke, but not. But when the psalmist said, I rejoice at your word because it's like somebody who found a great treasure. Isn't it true you're reading through the Bible and the Holy Spirit just shines on a verse for you and says, there you go. And you don't care what's going on in the world. It's like, there's the joy of the Lord. So trust in Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit. Get in the Word. As a psalmist said, I rejoice at your word as one who, like this man, finds great treasure. The Word tells us about a little baby, doesn't it? Who was born in a manger. An event that caused many to wonder. And I just wonder as we close, what could be wrapped up? What was wrapped up in that little boy that was born in the manger so many years ago? The angels helped us. They said, hey, good news, great joy for all people. No matter where you're at today or what you're going through, that's the eternal Word of God. It's good news, great joy, and it's for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that your kingdom is more than I think any of us can understand or realize today. And yet, Lord, as we come to the Christmas season once again, as we celebrate the birth of your Son, Lord, help us. And I know for those here, so many here, Lord, and those online perhaps today that are watching and worshiping with us from home this morning, Lord, I just pray for each one, no matter where we might be, that we would claim and believe those words that the angels announced to the shepherds who were quite afraid that night. And they said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you glad tidings, great joy for all people. And so, Father, I pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, as we believe in Jesus, as we ask you now today, just fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, each one. No matter what challenges or trials of life we might be going through, no matter how dark the world around us, Lord, we know that the light of the world has come. And if we trust him, he lives in us, and then we can shine as well. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Then I pray if there's anything between us and your kingdom this morning, perhaps there's something we need to let go of and get rid of, something we need to confess, whatever it might be, so that we can come fully and confidently before your throne today. Lord, do your work as we worship you, as we think about the birth of your Son and all that he came to do in our life. So have your way. And Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, and the worship team will lead us in this closing song. There at your seat, you spend some time in wonder and worship at the birth of Christ.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels us greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and lamb are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Now spears shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Now hail the word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant keen to own him, the King of kings, salvation brings. Let love in hearts enthrone him. Raise a song on high, the virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary.
You know, when Jesus was born, he was born into a rather tumultuous time, wasn't he? A lot of things going on in the world, and yet the birth of that child in that manger changed the world, didn't it? He's changing today. So I pray as you draw near and worship him this Christmas season that he just makes his peace and joy overflow in your life. And I was thinking today, normally today we'd be tearing down our living nativity set. You realize that? This is the second weekend in December, and this is our second year of not doing it. We're praying for something. We got some ideas for next year, so that are on the back burner, but so we don't have to rush out of here and go do that, right? So what I'm saying is enjoy your afternoon. Thanks for being here. And the kids are going to be coming up to practice a song they're presenting next Sunday. And Brother Jeremy, I just want to say how good it is to have you and your wife here, and be praying for your fellowship tonight as you guys gather here and celebrate that time. And so much looking forward to you guys just looking forward to God doing some great things. So it's good to have you guys both here this morning. So, all right, that's it. I think the kids are going to come up in a few minutes, and you parents know that. Enjoy some fellowship. God bless you. Thanks online if you're with us. Have a great afternoon. See you next.